morning, everybody. We're coming to you live right here from inside the main build facility at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. I'm Tom. The ladies' man's right here at my feet. Sometimes he sits offset by the camera up. Sometimes he's right here at my feet. I don't know if you guys got to see the Instagram posting of him. Go to Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Instagram. You'll see him out there having lunch with us on the counters and all that fun stuff. And we all know the master at entering stage right. Bubba, good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
So, pretty good so far. We had a lot of questions sent in to us over the, I would say, since...
Sure did.
Like, yeah. Last Tuesday, Wednesday, about some Trans Ams and some Camaros. More importantly, the Trans Am side, because the guys over at Restore Muscle Car actually just did the 13th annual Bandit Run.
That's
so,
correct.
Everybody was here. All of these Trans Ams were inundating all of Jupiter, Florida on crazy, crazy events that they were doing. The nice throwback to the Bandit Trans Am, the Bandit himself, Burt Reynolds.
Yep.
So we wanted to throw a little something up there about some Trans Ams, right? So that is exactly what we're going to talk about today. Real quick, short, to the point, but we will discuss how to take one of these iconic rides and turn it into a pro touring tire shredding monster.
And we're also going to talk, Bub, a little bit about, you've done a lot of these second generation F-bodies, and we're going to talk about some of the things to look for if you're in the market for it. We actually had somebody bring one in that was supposed to be a true edition YD2 car. We're going to find out from you what that is as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Sir Champion of Diesel, he's there on the internet. Right on Instagram. Miss Outlaw Boutique. All new, all online. For the best in online boutique fashion and apparels, it is MissOutlawBoutique.com. And Orange County Choppers, Bub. Orange County Choppers are?
Choppers done Bubba style.
Great episode this week. Did you see that? Mikey through the wood, through the glass, and see
your
office.
Yes, I did. Actually, I watched that twice, yes.
It's hilarious,
yes.
Isn't it, man?
Yeah, it turned out pretty well.
A lot of great stuff. But we're going to talk about the iconic second-generation Trans Ams. These were made most notable by the Bandit himself, Mr. Burt Reynolds, who lives right here in the Jupiter, Florida area, just down the road from us, in a place called Valhalla. We were visited by Richard and Alicia Torres from Texas last week, Bub. Who also have a Trans Am. We told them exactly where Mr. Reynolds lived, and they went and got great pictures in front of his Valhalla gate, Bub.
That's right.
Second generation Trans Ams, Bub, were kind of underpowered. They were a 200 horsepower Pontiac 400 cubic inch motor, and they were subject to some good things and some bad things. Let's go over some of the pros and cons, Bub.
Yeah, you know, it's second gen, as you guys can see in the title, the second generation of that General Motors line being the Camaro Firebird. Those things, everything from 1970 to 1981, you got to say towards the tail end, or you're going to be completely cut off set. So those cars were iconic. There were, some of them were grocery getters, base model. There was the Firebird Esprit. There was
Esprit,
the
right on,
Camaro.
The Lady Blue.
Yeah, there was just like your basic Camaros that were running straight sixes in them. Those are what, like a 225 or something I don't remember what the number was of the size of the motor. But I'll tell you what, man, these things were everything from basic to serious performance all the way up to some of the Trans Ams with the 455 package in it. So there were a lot of options out there. A lot of guys did a lot of conversions over the years. A lot of guys cut these cars up.
Yeah.
Some guys turned them into drag cars. Not too many people turned them into drag cars, really solely because of the fact that they were a subframe car, meaning there was not a full chassis on it.
Okay.
So it was just a front clip versus something full chassis where you could do, you know, a really nice back halfing to it and really step up to like a four-link or diagonal style rear end suspension on it for like the drag racing circuit. The road course side of it, not so much. You didn't really see these things out there. You have seen these quite a bit on road courses here lately over the past few years because of today's pro touring and the resto mod style that's available to them. There are companies now that are selling full direct fit roll cages for these cars, four-link style suspensions for the rear, which is what we're going to be talking about with this one here. And you can really upgrade these cars to have a lot of modern performance and have a lot of fun out of them, but still keep, as you see here, dead on to the T what it should have been when it rolled across that assembly line in whatever that year may be. This one's 79.
Now, Bub, there's a lot I want to talk about. We've got the back end of this one facing us, although this car does have the full late model LSX 454 in it, producing about 750 horsepower. You've got it all nestled in there. 680 horsepower,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You have it nestled in there nice and tight. The air conditioning works. Everything functions, and it's very serviceable in this car. Mm-hmm. You also have a lot of suspension upgrades on this car. You want to do some more upgrades to it to harness this power. You figured that out this morning. In the back, Bub, these were subject to a lot of rust. Can we talk a little bit about where the rust would be seen if someone were to look for one of these cars and potentially buy one?
You know, it was there were a lot of places actually on these cars that held rust, man. The T-top design, really forced water down into a lot of bad areas. But the T-tops themselves held a lot of water in those upper channels,
especially
where the weather strip got glued in. So there was a lot of troubles with, if it were a T-top style car, rust at the T-tops. Number one and key point you can find on pretty much any sort of second generation, whether it be Camaro, Firebird, Trans Am, Esprit, does not matter what model line it was. Look at the dash. That's your number one indicator for any sort of rust. If there's rust on the dash, there's rust everywhere throughout
inside,
the car.
Inside,
right,
Bub?
It's just freaking everywhere, yeah. You can literally look. It's in that section of, right when you look at the driver's side, base at the windshield, you can look at that area. You can see.
Correct.
Listen, if there is rust around the VIN number, guys, it is everywhere. If it is at the middle of the car, it's definitely at the bottom, and it's probably somewhere at the top because water had to come from somewhere to get to that firewall to create that entire dashboard to rust out, right? Key place, probably one that 80% of these cars have. Definitely look in that area, but also areas like lower quarter panels. These things were buckets. They filled up with water. There were actually drain plugs on the inside. My finger's actually in one right now. So there were drain plugs on the inside of these quarter panels, but nobody ever took those things out and let them drain in case of like severe rain, right?
Salt would sit up in there from...
Oh, everything would sit inside of here. So these things would literally eat from the inside out, and I can't tell you the number of these cars that you find that people think like, oh yeah, they look great, they're beautiful, they're in mint condition, but then you go and you start feeling this area, and you can literally feel the thickness of Bondo that is just caked on in these areas versus
correct.
Like true guys out there in the industry that would cut these out, steelwork them, and put them together properly as they should be done.
Good morning to Joe Kramer out there watching. We appreciate it. Bub, let's talk a little bit about this taillight assembly area. And I'm sure you were planning to get to it. Because this was so ornate back here, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of water trapped down here. Because of the way the rain channel ran, you would find water sitting behind these very ornate taillights, which, Bub, you typically smoke out a little bit, and it would rust the valance panel from the inside here. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, man, it was truly almost everywhere that you would deal with sections of, like, areas that you can't really get your hands to, right?
Well, good point.
There are sections behind this three-piece wing assembly. There's, coming off the back quarter panel, for example. If you were to strip this car down, you could see access to that area. But by the time you remove this corner wing, the spoiler, plus also remove this taillight, there is an entire section here that's probably 3 inches wide and 2 inches deep from this outer edge touching me all the way into the inner edge where it meets the taillight. So that entire area right there, you cannot access until you remove all those components. So those areas were super, super prone to water and moisture getting in there and never getting dried out. So a lot of the times, once you start stripping these cars down, you pull these urethane bumpers off, you pull off the glass three-piece
correct.
Wings, you start getting into much more of an area versus like when you see these guys that come in, they think that they're in great condition. These are nothing more than paint jobs that have been 400 or 320 down on the outside.
Yep.
They've been shot with some fresh paint and then voila.
So Bub, let's talk a little bit about there, as you've mentioned, to your point, there are varying degrees of the second-generation F-bodies, everywhere from the base model Firebird, which you saw, for example, actor James Gardner, who's no longer with us, driving the Rockford Files, all the way through the iconic Y82 package. When somebody tells you that it's a Y82 special edition package, can you tell us what that means, please?
Yeah, they were all different editions. There were, there were all these different packages out there. There were WS6s, there were Y84s, there were,
the WS6,
like,
yeah.
Think back to the... the Oldsmobiles, there was the W30 package that were everything from different braking systems to different drivetrains and axles that were in these things, 10-bolt, 12-bolt, the engines that were in them, the transmission, M21, M22, was it a rock crusher style? There were so many different options that were available, and all of that stuff comes down to one thing, and it's nothing more than true numbers matching and true identification verification. It's literally going over all those pieces and making sure it is what it is, and there are some people out there that get... God dang, the song and dance about how every freaking car out there is still a survivor,
I'm gonna get
numbers
to that.
Matching. You always wind up getting into it, and you're like, okay, yeah, definitely not. And that's an unfortunate situation because there are things that are being sold in the automotive industry that are sold as that, whether it is by guys who are lying about it or guys who are just unaware, which is... The unaware part's kind of hard to say because if you are unaware, then you probably just shouldn't say it,
correct.
That it's being sold as a numbers matching setup.
Agree.
But there are a lot of steps to take, especially when you're looking at spending big money in terms of how far do you want to go and whether or not what you're buying is a true, like, numbers matching deal. Now, in these cars, there's a marketplace for everybody, right? There is a marketplace for resto mods. There is a marketplace for classics that are untouched. There is a marketplace for survivors and barn finds. Barn finds are a huge one if it is a true, like, that's the big buck stuff where it's been never touched and truly never touched. Like, never, ever, ever touched. No paint jobs have been done.
Correct.
No replacement. Anything has been done. Whatever the mileage may be, all of the stuff on the car is exactly as it should be. That is a true barn find car, and those kinds of price tags, if it's a rare car, can go through the roof.
That's correct.
Think, for example, like GT500s, you know, Shelby-style cars. Camaros, yeah, they might pull a little money, 40, 50, 60, 70 out of a barn find. But these style cars, even to whatever that marketplace may be, you can pretty much get your money out of them. You know, because if you did this car, for example, in a pro touring style build, right, you're going to go north of 100 grand. To do one of these cars like full rotisserie, you're going to do,
yep,
you know, the full modern LS, especially depending on what motor options you get. If you get an LSA, you're looking at spending 30 grand on a supercharged motor alone, just the crate motor itself, not headers, not exhaust, not transmission. So you can really tack these numbers up real fast, real quick, and you can pretty much, in like the pro touring market, get that money back out of it. You put 100 into the car, you'll probably break even. Might be in that same area. You might drop a little bit. You might go up a little bit, depending on your buyer, depending on your guy, depending on the time the market's selling. If you are also dealing with like a true numbers matching that's been unmolested, you might also still draw a pretty strong amount of money from there, 40, 50, 60, 70 range. But all the way down to just your basic like turnkey, like kind of looks good, runs and drives, won't win a freaking trophy to save its life, but it gets you into that second generation Trans Am for 15 or 20 grand. It's still going to pull that kind of money.
Morning, Jeff Graham. I looked for your message this morning. I got it. It was on the machine. I'll call you this afternoon. Jeff Graham, you're building a first generation Camaro.
That's right.
For him, Bob.
Yep, that's right.
Bob, one of the things I wanted to mention, you had a 450, no, you had a YD2 package, the special edition package, come in this week. The car was originally bought in New Jersey. The client was very excited about it. However, when we got it here, we kind of decided it was going to be a project where two things would happen. Number one, 16 years of experience tells you you can qualify somebody pretty quickly. Do they have the money to put into it?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the time to understand that what they're asking for is going to take time? Okay? When somebody's talking to you and you tell them, well, I'd like to get this done in a couple months, blah, 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 and I'd like to put $30,000 at it, you can't do it, Bob.
Can't.
There's
yeah.
no way, man. The car is literally, once we finish up some of the ones that we've got here, that's a 12-month project, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
The car was beat, Bob. It wasn't a YD2 package. Somebody did change the heads on the car. Somebody did change the transmission on the car.
Mm-hmm.
It was full of mud in the back in the areas where you've described. And they want to throw $30,000 at it and kind of, and I'm not saying this in a mean way, they want us to do $80,000 worth of work so that they don't exceed the value of the car.
That's the ultimate goal, is everybody wants that Barrett Jackson style car.
Not doing it.
And, you know, you've got to know that line, and you've got to know when to cross it and when not to cross
it. That's why
we defined it. Some people don't understand the reality of what it's truly going to take to, this car is worth six figures that's sitting right here. This car shows every nut, every bolt, every nook, every cranny.
Everything about
sitting right here worth six figures all day long. It doesn't matter if it sat in a barn for the next 10 years. It would still be worth it because that technology is there. The quality of the build is there. The restoration is there. And as you guys can see, some of the fine pieces we have done to this thing, for example, this is a pro touring style car, but every nut and every bolt is exactly what it should be and what it was in 1979, down to the color, down to the leaf spring tagging, to the drive shaft tagging. Even though this thing is rocking a full carbon fiber drive shaft, it is still marked, coated, and colored exactly the way it would have been in 79. Some of the things that we did to it were like upgrade, for example, the snowflake style wheels, right? We did pull these things off. You can leave the camera there. It's a tight shot. That's good. So we did do these things in a snowflake style, of course, that gloss gold metallic with that milled face and clear coat finish. So this thing will never rust, never have any trouble with it. And these are billet aluminum, so they're lightweight, larger in their size overall and also in their width. But we needed a reason to be able to plant 680 horsepower to the ground. And of course, that is kind of hard to do on the factory white raised letter BF Goodrich tires. So we did step this thing up to a Nitto NT05R, which is that drag radial compound on the rear. So that does allow this car to plant its power down to the pavement.
Good morning to Jack. He says, hi, Tom, and hi, Bubba. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Jack.
My friend up there in Ontario, Canada. So, Bub, there's a lot of stuff to these. The one we brought in, we declined work on. I know a lot of people think that sometimes we don't get them out of here fast enough, and sometimes, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we turn away a lot of business, Bub.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's, you know, again, you got to have that reality of what it's going to take to get from here to here. And if that gap just doesn't happen, it's not going to happen, right? So if you want a $100,000 car, you have to
Come to the table with a $100,000
car, right?
That's correct.
It's not going to happen for 20. It's just not. You know, and there's a lot of people that have that misconception because, again, some of, like, what today's marketplace has done in terms of, you know, the auctions that you see, you know, these people see these Mecums and these Barrett Jacksons, and they see some of these, you know, basic cars, what I would consider basic, you know, so like 70 Chevelles, 55 Bel Airs, 57 Bel Airs, Trans Ams, you know, some of these numbers have really peaked, and they've caused a lot of people to think that because a car went across the block that maybe they have sitting in their garage, it went across the auction block at 100 plus because its rarity and its quality and what it's got, they're thinking that that turd box they have sitting in their garage is going to someday be worth that same number. And there's a big gap between those two, right? So it's just having a true reality of what these cars are really worth and what it takes to get them to hold that kind of number.
For example, this particular client that brought his Trans Am in, but somebody had painted it maroon with metal flake. They had the antenna on the back of it. There was etched glassing, etched glass everywhere with roses and Pepe Le Pew, the skunk in it. Somebody spray painted Trans Am across the rear diffuser.
I know.
It was terrible. The client paid $24,000 for this car, Bub.
Yeah, you
and
know,
then wants to put 30 into it.
You know, and that's a hard gamble right there, you know, because again, at the end of the day, to get that car right is going to be a lot more than that to get it to something like this, for example. And when you we're trying to work with something like that, so there's one or two ways to look at a car like that. You can either A, if it was truly a specific numbers matching true Y82 package or WS6 style package, you know, all of those pieces would have to be sourced and found in terms of date coding, in terms of the differential, in terms of the transmission, the motor, in order to turn that car back to what it was. The time alone in that is just ridiculous. Plus to get, you know, all of these items, you'd have to find all these parts, source them, rebuild them exactly back to how they should be, and then put them in. So you're looking at a full $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 restoration on what's already 25 to 30 into a car. You're at 100 right there. That car didn't have the rarity in terms of its options, even if it was built spec'd exactly the way it should have back in 77, it didn't have those options to pull that number at the end of the day in a 100% mint condition. So it just wouldn't have pulled it, so it would have been a loss.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You're starting to understand some of the insider tips that we use coming from the master. And trust me, when I say that Bub is very studied on whether this was an original 200 horsepower, 400 cubic inch Rochester carbureted setup, or one of the very high end. We're doing a lot of things here, Bub, that we don't show the public to protect our clients. A lot of people who don't know, we build for behind the scenes. And those vehicles are sent after they're built because the builders didn't know how to do them properly. And they wind up here in your lap. So whether it's a carbureted, and we're very proud of that. I'm not saying that negatively. So it's whether it's carbureted, Bub, or the latest in EFI technologies, you walk around with that in your head because you study 24/7.
Well, yeah, you got to know it all, man. You got to know what it takes to get these things out the door exactly the way that they should go. You know, and once they go, they're gone, and that's what makes it nice.
And then you don't want you really don't want them to come back through the door.
That's right.
We wanted to share this with you, ladies and gentlemen, coming off the edge of the Bandit Run with Richard and Alicia Torres, who visit us, the ladies man sitting right there. Let me make sure we can see him. Is he in the... Yes, he is. He's sitting right there. So, Bub, I'm going to wrap this episode up. I really wanted to spend some time with you on this. So if people are out there with the not only the Trans Am, but any car, if they're looking this weekend, let's be careful, ladies and gentlemen, about what people try to sell you. This particular Trans Am came from a quote-unquote professional motocross rider in the X Games who had Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Porsches, and he was sponsored by Kawasaki. So The car was in New Jersey, wound up down here at this motocross rider's house. The client asked him to send video of it, and the video he sent was him out doing donuts in a parking lot. That should be a first clue, ladies and gentlemen. Probably the car's not that well taken care of.
Yep.
Right?
That's right, man. So you guys stay tuned. You're probably going to see on this Trans Am as we come down that final stretch. Again, this thing is rocking a LSX 454, 680 nasty raw horsepower, naturally aspirated. This is all LS powered, fuel injected, incredible setup. There are crazy upgrades we are still doing to it. We've already started with the wheel and tire combo. The front coilover conversion is done. And wait until you guys see what we've got coming up for this rear suspension to plant this thing down to the ground.
Bub, I want to remind everybody that we have a new segment on our show brought to everybody around the world. It is a new race-related section. We are a motorsport show. It is the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsport show. Every Saturday morning, the BEM dirt track driver, Mr. Mark Hoffman, joins us live at 9:20 in the morning. We were supposed to get Skype up this week in the studio. I haven't had time to do that, Bub, so he'll just do his regular call-in. It's been a pretty aggressive week. You and I were here at 3 o'clock yesterday morning working away. So it's been an aggressive week. But Mark will bring you the latest in racing news from around the world, not to mention the BEM race team tearing it up on the dirt in the Northeast, Bub. So a lot of cool stuff. Did you see the picture Mark sent down of the 77 Monte Carlo?
Wow.
He started with an 84. The body lines are amazing, dude.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. So, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Facebook, what I need you to do is send me ideas of what you'd like Bub to cover as well. And technically, I'll interview him. I know how to interview Bub very well. We've been in business together for 16 years, and nothing will kill that. So I know how to get the questions out of him. Send us your topics right here on Facebook, and I'll pull them off, and you'll hear them tomorrow on tomorrow's show. How's that, Bub?
That's right.
4th of July coming up.
Yeah, man.
Anything special?
No, I don't know. We'll get to it. We'll, until whenever, keep on doing Bubba Style. We got to go. It's like 40 minutes.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this episode of Doing It Bubba Style, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports live stream. Lots of cool stuff we're going to be bringing you tomorrow's show. Send us ideas, and I'll include them in the show when I put it up today, this afternoon. I'm going to the gym today. I missed yesterday. I was in the studio playing music last night. Do it. I play music every Thursday, 5:30 to 6:30. And with the famous John Acosta, and we were here working very early until very late last night. So, tonight we're going to get in the gym. There's some personal insight. Ladies and gentlemen, until tomorrow on the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast, I want everybody to keep on doing it Bubba Style. And let's make sure we reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner today. Let's open the doors for somebody who's got their hands full. Somebody has holes in the bottom of their shoes, ladies and gentlemen. Let's put a pair of shoes on their feet. And if somebody's hungry standing on the corner, run them over to Citgo, Sunoco, 7-Eleven, whatever. Get a power bar and a protein drink. It's cheaper than your designer cup of coffee, ladies and gentlemen. This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. We're selling stuff off the lifts or left and right out there. 20,000 part catalog online. Lots of great stuff. Look for the new YouTube channel. John's going to set that up for us. I'm really excited. We talked about that in the studio last night. Miss Outlaw Boutique for the latest in fashion apparel and accessories. It is the all-new Miss Outlaw Boutique exclusively online. Robin and Layla are killing it. Hello, Bub. Ladies and gentlemen, let me show you what Bub's doing here. Hold on a second. Hello, Bub.
This is my microphone. It's off.